certainly appreciate that kind, humble prayer that's gone before, and ask you to continue to pray for us for the time we'll stand before you. Thoughts are a little scattered this morning. Trust the Lord to bless those, so y'all be praying to that end. It's a wonderful privilege to be here with you again. It's been a little while since the last time I was here. That's why I told Brother Philip, I said, well, this is a new addition back here on the back. I said, used to, this went to the backyard. Now there's other stuff here. They said, well, that's where you're going to take your bath. I said, okay, thank you. So a lot of things have changed. I think the last time we were here, Chloe was on the way, if I'm not mistaken. So things have changed a lot over those few years. It's amazing how time is that way. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to the 8th division of Psalms. In the 8th division of Psalms, in the first verse, it says, O Lord, our Lord. The fact that we can say that this morning, we're blessed beyond measure. Not that we can just say, O Lord, I mean, the devils know who the Lord is, right? But for us to say, O Lord, our Lord, as we read in the New Testament, who loved me and gave himself for me, when it becomes that, I like the us's and the we's in the Bible. When it gets to us's and we's, it gets important, right? I remember there was a time when all of a sudden I felt like I identified with those us's and we's, and all of a sudden that gospel became a whole lot sweeter, Brother Philip, when it meant something to me, and I had a part in it. You know, it's kind of like one day there'll be the reading of the last will and testament of Luke Laird. Now, you're welcome to come if you want to. Chances are you're probably not going to have anything in there. My boys, if they're lucky, might get something. I mean, I don't know that they'll have anything. But if we do have anything left when we leave this whole world, I'm going to leave it to my sons. Okay? Of course, you know, everything goes to Sister Jess and then from Sister Jess to them. But anyway, y'all know the drill. But the fact of the matter is, when we come and hear the reading of this testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the reason it's so important to us is because we're heirs. You understand that? That's what makes it, O Lord, our Lord, you see. And when we are beneficiaries of the benefits, then it gets real important. You know, it doesn't mean a whole lot, to be honest with you, until which time it applies to us as an individual. And at that point in time, it gets really special. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know, when we do things, there's a reason we do the things that we do. I think some people think people are getting better. I'm of opposition. I would say that people are getting worse. I would say that we get far less sophisticated and intelligent as time goes by. Oh, we've got stuff. No doubt we got stuff. We got eye everythings. And but the problem is, people today are far more ignorant. I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm saying ignorant. I know some of you parents are like, ooh, it's a bad word. You don't say that. Mama said you couldn't help that. But ignorant is a lack of knowledge, right? You can help ignorance. You can't help the inability to learn, but you can help ignorance. I mean, I want you to contemplate this for just a moment. This is why I say this. If something was to happen today and people had to start canning some things, there's very few people that know how to preserve something without a freezer and one of them vacuum sealing bags to put stuff in the freezer. If they had to put it in a mason jar, they're probably not going to make it. If somebody had to try to figure out how to preserve meat today without the use of a freezer, there's very few people that are going to have a smokehouse going and be able to preserve their meat just because we don't know how to do it. We are ignorant of that. Now here it says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I heard the other day a guy got married and he took his wife's name. You know why a woman receives her husband's name? It's important. It's not just something we do just to do it. It's because we, as the bride of Christ, he says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I got news for you, brethren. There is no greater name under heaven than the name of Jesus Christ. Because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee is going to bow. And every mouth is going to confess. But on that day when confession's made for us, we're going to say, "Oh Lord, our Lord." But there will be people that say, "My righteous judge." And there will be no shadow of a doubt at that point in time that He is a righteous judge. But this name is an excellent name. And brethren, there's only several ways to be kin to somebody. And by the way, those of you contemplating marriage, when you get married, you know, I had a young man, he said, "Well, I really like her, but her family is, whew." I said, "Well, I got news for you. It's a package kind of deal, man." You don't get just them. You get the whole kit and caboodle. All that comes is one big thing. Trust me, I know. I love my mother-in-law. Make sure that got recorded. Y'all sit down. I do love her. She's a sweetheart. But the fact of the matter is, you can be kin to somebody by marriage. You can be kin to somebody by birth. My last name is Laird. It's because my dad's last name was Laird. So when I was born, I was named Luke Laird because that was my father's name. I have a friend of mine that adopted a little girl. And when he adopted that little girl, they done some legal paperwork. And her last name was changed to his last name. Why? Because she's now his child. And this is something that I learned the other day about adoption. This is kind of weird. You know, in this country, we have this safe haven law where somebody can have a child, just leave them on the steps of the post office or the hospital or schoolhouse or fire department or police department. They have a baby and just leave that baby. And it makes me think, it says, can a woman forget her sucking child? It says, yea, she may. He said, but I'll never forget you. For you are engraven the palms of his hands. Not your name. Ye are engraven the palms of his hands. But now there is a law in this country that if you adopt a child, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, there ain't no take backs or mulligans. Once you adopt a child, you can't give them back. They're yours and your responsibility from this point forward. It doesn't matter what they do, how bad they are, they're your responsibility once you adopt them. Those are the only three ways that I know somebody can be kin to somebody. It's either by birth or by adoption or by marriage. And you know what? The good Lord got us in all three. And considering He got us in all three, brethren, you and I bear about this excellent name, which is the name above every other name. And we need to be careful how we bear about this name. When the Lord says, don't take the Lord's name in vain, He ain't just talking about using it in profanity. How do you bear it about? I remember my grandfather told me one time, he said, son, we've worked really hard to have a good name. You be careful what you do with it. It doesn't take but one uh-oh to mess up a whole bunch of attaboys. We need to be careful how we bear about this name. One of the reasons that Christianity as a whole today takes some of the grief that it does, I use that kind of loosely, that term, by the way, but it's because people bear about that name in a way that is not honoring and glorifying unto the Lord. They bear about that name and perform things, and the fellow over here says, well, why should I be worried about it? That guy's doing the same thing I'm doing. I seen him on Saturday night, so why should I be worried about going to church with him on Sunday morning? I'm doing the same thing he's doing. Brethren, you bear about a name, by birth, by adoption, by marriage, that is an excellent name. And it's a name above every other name. And I'm going to tell you, the name was placed upon you, and it wasn't a light thing to be able to do. It was costly. Yes, salvation is free, but it ain't cheap. Y'all understand that? It cost the Lord of glory the very best that He had. Yet from time to time, we give the Lord what's left over. It's not what He asked of us. Oh, I give my little... Oh, that's great. You need to give. You need to help support the church. You need to help support your pastor. You need to help take care of... There might be families in this community that need help. You're charged with doing that. When the government got in the business of doing things the church was supposed to be doing, everything got bad. But the fact of the matter is there's things you need to be doing. But some of the greatest things, and I look back in my life, we didn't have a whole lot growing up. I mean, we weren't what I'd call rich folks. We had plenty. But the reason we had plenty is because we raised everything. I mean, We raised beef cattle, so we always had hamburger meat. I mean, if all else failed, we just had hamburger meat, because, son, we kept the freezer full of burger because we always killing a calf. We always had corn, peas, and okra, and taters because we could raise them in the garden and put them up. We always had those kind of things. But I'd never been to places like Disney World or something like that. Never been. We went one time when my kids were little. That was enough for me. But anyway, I ain't here to talk about that. I got a better subject. But the fact of the matter is, some of the greatest memories I have is time that we spent together as a family. There was times in the summer we'd go back to the home place of my grandmother on McCall Creek down in Franklin County, Mississippi, and the water's about that deep, and me and my brothers and cousins run up and down the creeks like little wild Indians for about a week. And I'm telling you, we had the greatest time. I mean, we found all kind of stuff to get into and nothing bad, but we just was able to enjoy time. You know, time is one of the most precious commodities that you have. Because this time you have, since this whole life is but a vapor to appear for a little while, there's one thing you're not making anything more of, well, with the exception of this. The Lord said, honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, right? There is some time right there. But the fact of the matter is, time is one of them things, it's swiftly. There's an old book in that Casey book, an old song, it says, swift as the Indian arrow flies, time, what an empty vapor it is. Brother Philip and I were talking this morning, and I was looking at the picture of his ordination, and I was thinking about all the brethren I knew in that ordination, and we were talking about how many that had gone on to be with the Lord. And I said, you know what's kind of scary? I was thinking about this the other day. He said, what's that? I remember growing up, you know, in my mind, I'm still the young preacher. See, that's the way you are, too. You know, in your mind, you're still the young whippersnapper. And I said, you know, if I was still back down in Ruth, Mississippi, in the mid, I said, I would be the senior pastor in that area. I said, that's scary. He said, yeah, it is. I don't know if it was scary that he was thinking about he'd be right there with me or the fact that I would be. But it was scary nonetheless. Time just has a way of slipping by. And we always say, well, I'll get to it when I get around to it. I'm going to start building some of them things. A little round coin, put around to it on it, start handing them out so people go and get stuff. But the fact of the matter is, time's one of the most precious things that we have. And here we're going to see where the Lord has said there's a place and a time where He'll come and He'll meet with us, but so many times we don't make time for the Lord, which is a scary thing when we consider what we do with our time. So giving unto the Lord is not just giving of your goods and your money and the first things of the flock. It's giving the best you have. It's giving your time. Sometimes, brethren, the Lord said, if you love me, He said, keep my commandments, right? Love one another as I've loved you. Folks, preacher ain't the only one supposed to visit the sick folks. Preacher's not the only one that needs to be praying with people. Preacher's not the only one that ought to call somebody and check on them when they're not here. We need to give up our time. The Lord gave of His time and gives of His time for us. As a matter of fact, He secured it so that there's coming a day we won't have to worry about time anymore. Now, I don't know when that day's going to be here, but when He gets here, we won't have to worry about it anymore. Until that time, it's time to get up and it's time to eat. Then it's time to eat again. Then it's time to eat again. Then it's time to go to bed. But I mean, and you might get some more eating in there. But it's always time, right, in our life. It's time this, time that, time this, time that. There's coming a day, time won't matter. But until that day, what do we do with our time? Here He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in the earth. If He took time to place His name upon us, and that's why when a man and woman get married, she receives her husband's name, is because we, as the bride of Christ, bear about the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we do that. If He took time for us in such a specific way, then, brethren, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how gray the skies might be when you get up in the morning. If it's a day that we get to go up into the house of the Lord, we ought to go up into the house of the Lord. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? I'm going to tell you, the Creator is always more glorious than the creation. His glory is above all of His creation. His glory is above the heavens in the sense that His glory is more majestic than all of creation. I mean, it is majestic as the heavens are. Have y'all ever just for a moment looked at the stars? You know, scientists for a while, they were trying to figure out how many stars there were, and then they figured out, well, you can't number them. No kidding. Could have told you that one. He said it's an innumerable host, just like the stars of the heaven and the sands of the... I could have told you that one. But see, man is so much smarter than they think they are. They think they're so much smarter than they actually are so many times. Then they finally figured out, well, we can't number all the stars, so they'll move on. Glad they wasted several hundred years trying to do that. But anyway, fact of the matter is, when you consider the vastness and the beauty of that, and it is glorious, the glory of the Lord is far greater than that. Also, I would say this. I don't know where heaven is. I remember one time I heard this story about this old preacher. He was a young preacher. He actually moved to a new town. He was serving the church there. And he was going into town. He was walking into town. He was going over this bridge. And as he went over the bridge, he heard this racket going on underneath the bridge. And he leaned over and there's some little boys down there under the bridge. He said, hey, where's the post office? What? Where's the post office? Let's carry on. So finally, he walked down the side and got down there under the bridge. The little boys was under there shooting craps. They were gambling underneath the bridge. He said, you boys need to follow me. I'll show you the way to heaven. Where y'all are headed is the wrong direction. This one little fella boy, he had on a pair of overalls. He stuck them thumbs up in them galluses. He said, y'all can follow him if you want to, but I'm pretty sure if he can't find the post office. He probably ain't going to find heaven. I say that in jest, but here's the point, brethren. If I told you right now I want you to go to heaven, do you know how you get there? Do you go to the galaxy or the Milky Way and hang a right or a left? I mean, do you have a clue? No, but I don't have to know. You know why? Because there's one whose glory is beyond that that's going to come back, and He's going to gather us up, and He's going to carry us back to where He is. You understand? His glory. And I don't know where heaven is, but I do have this idea. And you remember that day he was walking there and that he was just received up in the glory? Received up in the clouds? It's up. It's got to be up. Because he returned to the Father which sent him, so he went up. I don't know which direction that is. It's up. But his glory is beyond the heavens. We can't even see the end of the vastness of what we call space. And beyond that, there's God. It's amazing to contemplate. That's mind-boggling when you start thinking about it. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. He said, when I consider thy heavens. I saw this thing, it was powerful. It showed a man. And then it showed animals all the way up to the size of an elephant. That was pretty amazing. Then it started showing locomotives, planes, and stuff like that. That's pretty cool to look at us in comparison to all those things. Then it started showing us in comparison to the moon. And then it showed moon in comparison to the earth. And then it showed earth in comparison to the sun. And then it showed sun in comparison to... And I'm telling you, the longer that video went, the smaller I became. And when you consider the heavens, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, we're not even a drop in the bucket. We're nothing and less than nothing in comparison to the creation. Grasshoppers, dust to the balance. Right? He said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. Now, when I think about finger work, I don't think about something that's really hard to do. You know, my grandmother Laird, she did not have idle hands. She never did. She was always doing something. By her chair, if she wasn't crocheting, she was knitting. If she wasn't knitting or crocheting, she was putting together squares to be doing some quilts. She was always doing something. That's kind of what I think about when I think about finger work. As you sit there in the chair and you're knitting or you're crocheting or doing quilts, things like that. And it says that this vastness of this stars that we behold, that's just the finger work of God.
That's amazing to me.
I mean, that's the little. He just, oh, and by the way, he flung the stars at him. I mean, you know, he just, that's kind of an afterthought. Oh, he created all the stars also. It's kind of like an afterthought. And we sat here and marveled at them, and there's so many of them we can't figure them out, and it's the most amazing thing we've ever seen. And it says, oh, yeah, he made them as well. Kind of like, yeah, done that too. Here it says the finger work. When you consider the vastness of that, and that's what the psalmist is really putting our mind in frame when he brings this to our attention. When I consider thy heavens the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? When you consider the creation, what is man? But you know, from the very creation, you see that there's something special about man. Something real special. He didn't just speak Adam into existence, did he? He didn't say, well, let there be a man. No, he said, let there be light. There was light. He created the stars also, the sun, the moon, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the land, the sea. When it comes to man, you see God himself breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. And it says something special about Adam. Adam became a living soul at that point in time. But here he said, what is man in the vastness of this creation? Now, if you really get yourself in the mind frame that the psalmist is in here, and you look at yourself in comparison to the creation, as glorious it is, that is a very good question to ponder. What is so special about man who can be so wicked, so cruel? There's not been very many creatures on this planet can be as cruel as man can be. What is man that God, who spoke this world into existence, is mindful of him? Then he goes on to say, or, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We've actually been visited, brother. Now, I got news for you. There's a lot of people make a lot of claims. Y'all just take this one with you, and you hold on to this one. They say Muhammad done this and that and the other and this and over here and that and over there, Buddha and whatever else. It doesn't matter. They all go in one bucket. I can tell you this. 2019's about in the books. Right here in a few days, it's going to be 2020. You know why it's going to be 2020? Because luckily 2020 years ago, something really amazing happened. We were visited by God himself. And we've been marking time by the manifestation of God in the image of Jesus Christ ever since. So all these people can serve whatever they want to, but when they write that check and put 2020 on there, that's the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ, 2020. We mark time by the fact that the God of glory thought about man and visited us in the very sense that God himself took on the likeness of sinful flesh and was made manifest in this world. That is mind-blowing. That God, who just, the stars, he created them also. That's just the finger work. He spoke all this. It's so much bigger than we are into existence. But he came to see us. And he didn't come just to come check you out and figure out what was going on, because he knew that. Matter of fact, he knew that before it ever happened, didn't he? That's amazing. That'll blow your mind. He had the cure for the disease before the disease was ever made manifest. We've been trying for years to cure some of the diseases we know about, and we still ain't got anywhere close to doing it. And we know what they are. He cured it before it ever was. What do you mean he cured it before it ever was? I'm going to tell you this, brethren. This Bible teaches us that God took a people and he sanctified them and set them apart in his Son, Jesus Christ, before any of this ever happened. You think you're more precious than the stars in the heavens? I believe you are. Why? Because he put you in his Son before the world was ever spoke into existence. He knew you before anything ever was, except for him. That's amazing. That'll blow your mind if you start trying to wrap your little finite mind around that. He placed us in his Son. For the purpose of what? For the purpose of coming to redeem us. I'm going to tell you, he hath visited his people. Not only hath he visited, he hath redeemed. You know, I learned that real early on in grade school. When you put an ED on the end of a word, you know what that means? It's already happened. It's past tense. If he hath redeemed us, brethren, there ain't no redeeming that's going to take place later on. And the best part about that is, there's no redeeming left for you to do, because if it was, you couldn't get it done anyway. He hath redeemed, past tense. You know what that means? He paid the price in full, brethren. Well, what if there's a little bit more? Y'all ever thought about that? I had that foolish thought when I was younger. I said, well, you know, I might could possibly out-sin God's grace. Y'all ever thought about that? I mean, you ever thought, well, Lord, he paid a debt, you know, and let's say it was $200, but I done spent $2,000. I don't know how that's going to happen. But you know, I got some peace for you this morning, brethren. The Bible says that where sin did abound, and brethren, it abounds far more in my life than I'd like for it to. Grace did much more abound. The Bible says it this way, to him that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or need. Son, that's some adjectives right there that I just like. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or need. That's amazing that God has thought about us, because I know how many times I fail him. I know how many times I might have got up and said, you know, sure, it's pretty out there today. Let's go fishing. I did skip a meeting one time. I'll tell you all this. I'll confess it to you. It wasn't on Sunday morning. A dear friend of mine invited me to go over to Arkansas, fourth weekend in October, which is the middle of bow season in southwest Mississippi. And I had been spied this buck out, and I'm telling you, I had that joker patterned, and I knew exactly where he was going to be and what he was going to be doing, and I'd been busy the whole time, and he said, won't you come over here? And I said, well, I ain't going to be able to make it. Saturday morning, I got in the woods extremely early, carried my lunch, climbed about 50 feet up a tree, was planning on being there all day till I carried that feller home. I had pictures of him, knew exactly where he was. I got up there that morning, about 15 minutes before it was light enough for me to be able to see, I heard it. He got up in the cut over, he crossed the creek, come right underneath me, went out into an acorn, little acorn flat there. About 5 minutes before daybreak, I heard this awful racket coming down the hill, and I looked, and there was a flashlight coming down the hill up there. And this guy come walking in there on top of where I was at and climbed a tree about 60 yards from me, right over there. Boy, I was some kind of upset, but I didn't say a word. Sun comes up, I see the buck that I knew where he was going to be. He's right out there. This guy ain't got a clue. He's nowhere in the world. And he's coming back toward me, going back to his bed. And I said, yep, you fixing to die, buddy. And I was waiting for him to come back, and all of a sudden I heard this clang. And this old boy has seen the buck now. And then I see like and that rascal flings an arrow at him and sticks him back. He come by me like he was shot out of a cannon, and I seen him about 2 miles over there across the hill. And I just started climbing down the tree. I learned a very valuable lesson that day. I'd been far better off if I'd just carried myself on over there and went to church meeting instead of, I thought I was going to get one by and just go on and go hunting, but I got news for you, brethren. I should have just went on and went. I don't know why we'll do some of the things we do sometimes. I know that I failed. I know that I probably should have went, and I didn't go that day, and I got to witness that. The Lord taught me a very valuable lesson that day. But I don't know why I'm so bullheaded sometimes and have to learn the same lesson over and over and over and over again. I don't know why we are such a stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-headed people. Yet in the midst of all that, the Lord of glory loves you. That boggles my mind. You know, and he didn't love you, brethren, because you got yourself all cleaned up and prettied up on a Sunday morning to get to the meeting house. The Bible says he loved us when we were yet enemies. You see, he loved us in our worst state. Y'all know what an enemy is? Sometimes we really don't know what an enemy is. I think we kind of whitewash all this stuff. An enemy is a person that wants to kill you. They hate you. They detest you. That's what an enemy is. We got some of them. You may not know it, but we got them. But we were in that condition with the Lord. And while we were yet in that state, the Lord loved us. I like to say the Lord loved us in spite of ourselves. That's what the Bible teaches us. But in spite of what we were, who we were, how we had, he loved us in spite of ourselves. And because of that great love wherewith he had loved us, the Bible says we love him. Why? To get something from him? That's what the world will teach you these days. You got to love him to get something. Well, my Lord, even the publicans do that, right? They love people to get things. No, brethren, we love him because he loved us when we were unlovable. We love him because he loved us when we were yet enemies. We love him because he loved us before we ever was. And that is a hard thing for me to comprehend. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Now we're getting a clue of who this visitation is, who this man is. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, if you go over into Hebrews, you'll find this reiterated. And it doesn't leave us any doubts now who is under considerations. In Hebrews, in the second chapter, sixth verse. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. You know, it says the earth is just a footstool. It's amazing. All things are in subjection. Now, I want y'all to think about that statement just a moment. Do you know what subjection means? Under the rule and authority of subjection. I just want to pose this question to you this morning. If all things have been put under his feet, he's given all power and authority, and all things are in subjection unto him, you think he had to argue with Lazarus when he come right there to that grave and said, oh, Lazarus, if you'll just let me, buddy, if you'll wiggle your pinky finger, I'll pull you out of that grave. You know, if the Lord had told Lazarus, wiggle your pinky finger, Lazarus would still be laying in the same spot he was. You know why? He was dead. If I told you somebody was dead, you wouldn't say, well, how dead are they? There's no degrees. I mean, dead is dead. We understand that language, right? The finality of that. Well, if we can comprehend that, why is it that we sometimes can't comprehend that when an individual is dead in trespasses and sin, that's exactly what that means? They are without strength. But when we were yet without strength, God, he done something for us. Why? Because he was mindful of you. That's why. That blows my mind. Here I am, an enemy of God, and for some reason or another, God of glory, who spoke this world to existence, thought about me. You know, that ought to make you feel kind of special this morning. That the God of glory that created all this amazing stuff. I'll never forget one time. My uncle worked for Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality.
And sometimes in Louisiana, places you want to go, you got to get there by ferry. In other words, they don't have a bridge. So you pull up and you wait in line. The ferry pulls up there. And they let the thing down. You drive your vehicle up on the ferry. They lift the gate up, back away from that, and pull into a dock on the other side of the body of water and let you off. Well, there was this old man that was a preacher on that ferry, and he was selling peanuts. And my uncle really liked visiting with the preacher. And I'm telling you, that feller selling peanuts, he's going to get to the Lord pretty quick. You get over there and buy a pack of peanuts, he's going to tell you how good the Lord's been to him. And he told the feller he was riding with, he said, let's go get some peanuts. And that guy, he was definitely not a churchgoer that was riding with him. And he said, no, if we get over there, you're going to get that preacher talking about the Lord, and I just don't want to hear it this morning. He said, I'm telling you, he ain't going to talk about the Lord. He said, really? He said, yeah, I'm going to get him talking about money. He won't talk about the Lord if I get him talking about money. He said, well, let's go get some peanuts. He got over there and he bought a sack of peanuts. It was $5 for a sack of peanuts. About 18 people on there. Oh, brother, he said, well, brother, you're doing pretty good. He said, takes 30 minutes for a trip. He says, you make two trips an hour. Got a group over there, group back, about 18 on here. If you sell five to each one going over and back, that's 25. He said, sell an average of five to each one of them. He said, that's $50 an hour. He said, look, man, you make some pretty good money selling peanuts on this boat. And that old guy was sitting there. And that old preacher began to tell him at that point in time, he said, oh, Brother Randy. He said, you know my daddy's rich. I ain't worried about money. He said, he owns the cattle of 1,000. And for 30 minutes, he told him just how rich his daddy was. When they got back in the truck and they got to the other side, that fella got in the truck, he said, ain't that pitiful? Uncle Grant said, what? He said, that preacher going to lie like that. He said, you know good and well if his daddy was that rich, he wouldn't be out here selling peanuts on a ferry. He didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But brethren, what I want you to understand is, God, our Father, oh, he's rich beyond measure. You don't have to worry about the cupboard running dry. You ever got scared? Oh, let's don't tell anybody else what we got going over here at Cool Springs because there might not be enough of the Spirit poured out to go around. So y'all just stay back so we can keep it all to ourselves. No, brethren. It's exceedingly abundantly above. But there's coming a day when we're going to realize just how rich our daddy is. And in really realizing just how rich our daddy is, we're going to realize just how rich we are. Because we are blessed beyond measure, and not deservedly so. You see, that is what grace is it not? God hath given us something that we did not deserve, and praise God for His mercy. I'm thankful He don't give me everything I do deserve. He withholds some things that I need. I'm deserving. I don't need them. Let me rephrase that. Oh, Lord. Some things I'm deserving of, He refrains from giving me. That's His mercy. But when He gives us things that we're not deserving of, boy, that's His grace made manifest. And I'm going to tell you that the God of glory laid aside all the glory that heaven had. Took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh and came and visited us. And the purpose for which He came here, He gave testimony unto Pilate. He said, for this cause came I unto this hour. You see, He came here for one purpose. What's the purpose the Lord came here for? Well, He told us. He didn't leave us ignorant regarding it. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is my Father's will. All which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raised up again at the last day. I'm thankful I believe that this morning, brethren. I'm thankful that the Savior that I worship is one that all things is put in subjection under Him. Y'all got that? I mean, did not the apostles marvel one time? He walked out there on the bow of the ship and said, peace be still. And they said, oh, man, even the winds and waves obey Him. That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that. What about the time He just come walking out across the water? What about the time He's just received right on up into the clouds? I'm going to tell you, brethren, the law of gravity can't hold Him. Why? Because He has power over His creation.
That's why.
He sent Peter down there to catch a fish. He's got money in his mouth so he could pay his taxes and his. It's amazing. Why? He's got power over his creation. He told his men, he said, cast your net. Children, have you any meat? No, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. We ain't caught nothing. They just got through cleaning the net. And if you have ever cleaned the net, trust me, you clean the net and there wasn't nothing in that net, you're not excited about putting it back out. If you've ever done that, we were shrimping one time, and I'm telling you, we had a bicycle and a toilet bowl and everything else, and it was horrible. And I was not interested in putting it back out. We had dredged up all kind of mess, and I didn't want, I was like, man, I don't want to put them nets. I want to go home. That's what I want to do. If I'd been on that boat that night, the Lord said, you got any men? Nope. We sure don't. Been fishing all night. Ain't caught a thing. Just got through getting a stupid slab and weed and everything else out of this. Well, throw it out again. Nope, ain't happening. I'm going to the house. You know what they did? They cast the net out again at the command of the Lord. And there was so much fish in the net, they couldn't even drag it in. You know why? One that had authority spoke. That's why. The same one, brethren, and all things put subjection under his feet. He came here for the purpose of paying a debt for some people that was given to him by his father. And not only has he done that, but he comes and calls you by name and reveals to you that you're a part of the us's and the we's of the Bible. Isn't that glorious? Well, Lord, speak sweet peace unto you. And I got news for you, brethren. The same one that said to the wind and the waves, peace be still. The same one that walked on the water. The same one that went up in the clouds. The same one that said, Lazarus, come forth. The same one that said, may it arise. The same one that is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Remember when old John was worried about it? They said, oh, he's, you know, John, I mean, you think about this. We also need to learn something from this, because sometimes we can let some things slip that we need to remember. John's locked up in prison. This is the same John, by the way, who baptized Jesus Christ, saw the Spirit of God descend and remain upon him. He heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Same one, the next day he's standing there, he said, look, behold the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. That's him. I'm not him, that's him. Now John's locked up in prison because he told Herod it wasn't lawful. Wasn't lawful for him to have his brother's wife. He's fixing to lose his head because his wife didn't like, being called an adulteress, although that's what she was. People today say, oh, Brother Luke, that's not important. But John the Baptist lost his head for nothing. Yes, it was important, brother. He lost his head for it. It must have been important. John the Baptist is about to be headed. His head's fixed to be placed in a charger. He sends his apostle. He said, go ask him. Go ask him, peace and warning, do we seek another? And you know what the Lord told him? He said, you go remind John. Go shew John again those things which you have seen and heard. What? The deaf hear. The blind see. The dead are raised. The lame walk. You know one of the most amazing things that happens? The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Brethren, have you ever heard the gospel preached? It may not have been today, but there's been a time in your life you've heard the gospel preached and you left and you rejoiced saying the gospel's been proclaimed. That's the gospel of my salvation. You know what God just did to you? He just sent you a message. When you received that and you rejoiced in that, he sent you a message. And the message is, all is well at home, child. Just a little while you'll see me. Just a little while. In just a little while, you'll be with me where I am in just a little while. But brethren, beyond that, look at this in Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2 he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That ain't every man in Adam's sin. That ain't what he's talking about is every man represented by Jesus Christ. And if you want to get that, just keep reading. You ain't got to take my word for it. The Bible will pretty much speak for itself. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. Who did he bring unto glory? His children, his sons. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one.
Now you know who it is he redeemed and tasted death for. The ones that were sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set aside for a holy purpose. When were we sanctified? We were sanctified in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's when we were set aside in Christ. For both he that sanctified, they were sanctified, are all of one. For which cause, this blows my mind, he's not ashamed to call them brethren.
You ever seen, I got a cousin that we grew up with. If somebody asked me if I was kin to him, I'd be like, I don't think so.
That dude was bad.
They'd say, are you kin to old so-and-so? I'd say, what'd you say his name was? I didn't want to necessarily say, yeah, that's my first cousin. I wonder how many times I've done things, the Lord just, But he's not ashamed to call me his brother. He's not ashamed to call you his brethren. Saying, I will declare, now watch this, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church while I sing praise unto thee. You know, there's a place where our Savior tells us that he'll come and he'll visit with us. When he was suspended between heaven and earth, you know what was on his mind? You were. You know how I know that? Psalms 22. He talks about being encompassed by the bulls of Bashan. He says, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Somebody said, oh, Brother Luke, he was so emaciated, his bones were sticking out. No, let me tell you something precious about man. Not only did God breathe the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, but when he looked at him, he said, you know, it's not good that he'd be alone. I'm going to make an help meet for him. The Bible says he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took out of his side a rib thereof, and with that rib, he made a woman. And when Adam looked at that woman, he said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You want me to tell you who was on the Lord's mind when he hung suspended between heaven and earth? He said, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. His bride was on his mind because of the joy that was set before him. I'm going to tell you the joy of what? His children, whom he's not ashamed of, being gathered home, but until that time. There's a place that you and I have right here while we dwell in this sojourn, in this old low ground of sin and sorrow, where the Lord says he'll come and he'll meet with us. I got news for you, brethren. You're elect and precious and peculiar in his sight this morning. Your love in the 17th chapter of John, by the way, if you ever want to read the Lord's Prayer, you can get it right there. Not the model prayer, but I'm talking about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord prayed in the 17th chapter of John. He said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast given me power over all flesh. You think he's got authority? Yeah. He said that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. You know what that means? Every single one that he's got, he's going to give eternal life to. And I got news for you. They're going to be with him in glory, and there ain't nothing going to stop that. That's peaceful this morning, brethren. You know why? Because the one that had authority said it was going to take place. That's why. But the other thing I want you to get there, he says, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast loved them. Who's that? The children that the Father had given to him. The bride the Father gave him. The heirs that he is fellow heirs with. I thank thee, Father, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And if you'll keep reading in my Bible, it goes to the right-hand page, left-hand column, right up at the top. It says, for thou hast loved me from before the foundation of the world. You know what, brethren? What is man? I'll tell you what he is. He's individuals that God looked upon. And for some reason or another, he looked upon you with mercy. He looked upon you with grace. He looked upon you with love. And so much love that he decided he loved you so much that he would sacrifice his own son so that you could be with him where he is. Now, what are we going to sacrifice to be able to spend time with him? He says, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. in the midst of the church, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. There's been times I've met at the Lord's house, brethren, that I felt the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord so thick that I felt like I could just reach out and grasp his garment. And I don't know when that time's going to be, but I'm going to tell you this. If by chance he's going to be there, I want to be there just in case he is. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you're precious in his sight. How do we view him? The most precious things ever happened in our life, roughly 2,000 some odd years ago, the Lord of glory came to this low ground of sin and sorrow for the purpose of redeeming us from ourselves. And so many times we can't give the Lord time. He's not asking for a lot. I mean, my goodness. Y'all meet more than some. I don't know if y'all meet on Wednesday nights, but I mean, sometimes Saturday night. We meet on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And sometimes we got folks just can't make it on a Wednesday night. It's just too difficult to make it on a Wednesday night to come out and have services. I'm thankful it wasn't too difficult for the Lord. Lord, what? God was angry with us, but his anger's been turned away. You know why? Because the fullness thereof was poured out upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of his great love for you. Brethren, may we love him in a minuscule way in compared to how he's loved us. And may we not only say that we love the Lord, but may we prove by our actions and our feet that we love him and we thank him for the fact that he was mindful of us, nothing and less than nothing. And that he has prepared for us a place in glory, and there's coming a day we're going to be with him there. But until that time, he's blessed us beyond measure, and that we have this kingdom that we can spend time with him, and he'll come in and commune with us. I pray he communes with us every time that we meet, and I pray that he communes with you every time that you meet, that you might leave rejoicing, knowing that you have felt a Savior's love. May the Lord bless you as our prayer.